Hey, welcome to Life 2.0 Podcast. I'm John St. Augustine. Glad to have you joining me from anywhere and everywhere. Time to go up the down staircase in the frickin' outdoor, make sense out of the senseless, and if at all possible, find the obvious buried in the absurd. Let's get to it. Thanks for joining me on the podcast one more time. It's early morning here in Chicago. I hope wherever you are, anywhere and everywhere around planet Earth, as I always say, because that's what technology does. In my studio, just in the western suburbs of Chicago, literally being able to speak to the world is just, it's humbling, fascinating, and a little terrifying at times, to be honest with you. But glad to have you joining me once again. First, a shout out to the people who subscribe and support this podcast. The model has changed a little bit over the years. There is a river that runs through a lot of different things when it comes to radio. And most radio, of course, terrestrial radio as we call it, is, you know, advertiser supported. People, you have to endure commercials. So you have that. It's free, but you still have to endure some stuff in order to be able to listen, obviously. Matter of fact, just a little segue. Last week was the 100th anniversary birthday of WGN Radio here in Chicago, all the way back to 1922. And I had the opportunity to sit in on that highly respected and historic station for a couple of years, 2013 to 2015. It was a very, very cool time. I grew up listening to WGN and all the great names, Wally Phillips and Roy Leonard, Uncle Bobby Collins. And it was one of those deals back in the 60s and 70s, and I'm sure before that in the 50s, that the radio was just on. My dad would turn the radio on it when he got up early in the morning, like I do, 6 o'clock in the morning, that radio stayed on till he went to bed at 10. Even if you weren't in the kitchen, the radio was on. It just was in the background of our lives all the time. So for me to get the chance to be on that same frequency that I grew up listening to so often, and to be in the air chair, as we call it, with some great names in its own right at that time, Gary Meyer, the G-Man, Jonathan Brandmeier, the Big O, Orion Samuelson, who does all the agricultural stuff at WGN, or he's retired now. And of course, my friend Tom Skilling, the weathermaster. The phone lines would light up like a Christmas tree when Tom Skilling came on. He was on 305 and 405 in the afternoons. So 1500 and 1600 at 5 after once we opened the show. And that was usually Gary Meyer's slot. When I sat in for Gary, that was at 3 to 7. So there's 4-hour block of time. But when Tom Skilling was coming on, man, people just wanted to ask him what the weather was like in Paducah, Kentucky. You know, I mean, it's fascinating. Tom's a great guy and endures all of it with great grace and ease. But to this day, you know, if you want to get the phone lines buzzing in Chicago, you put Tom Skilling on the air. Anyway, back to our regularly scheduled programming, thanking the sponsors who plunked down $20 a month, which is $5 a week, 66 cents a day, to support what I do here. I have a lot of other projects going on that, you know, carry the heavy freight. But when I started this going on 5 years ago already, man, oh man, it's a lot of, there's like, I don't know how many downloads we have, thousands, over 10,000. I had to find out a way to monetize it a little bit. I mean, you know, there's a couple ways, like I said, so you got regular terrestrial radio that has advertisers, but in order to have advertisers in podcasting, you have to have a lot of numbers. So if you're starting out, unless you have a benefactor, somebody comes in and says, I love what this guy does, I'm just going to underwrite all the production costs, then there's that route, which that rarely happens. So you need the numbers first. Like a guy like Joe Rogan, you know, had some backing behind him, was able to build up numbers and signed a $100 million contract. Not a bad thing for a guy who started out as an actor. Anyway, that's his deal. So for me, I thought, I've been in this business quite a while. I've written books, done TED Talks, a lot of platform stuff. You know, I'm a somewhat of a commodity in certain levels. Also last week, another segue, excuse me for doing that so much here. I was a guest remotely from Chicago to Trinidad for the Media Institute of the Caribbean, or Caribbean, depending on how you want to say it, talking about responsibility in radio and all the different pieces of that. And I was able to do that from here as well. I've been to Trinidad a few times, and they've run a lot of my stuff there in Trinidad. Power Thoughts, Earth Matters. Apparently, I have a footprint in Trinidad. Go figure. All pretty cool offshoots of this work that I've been doing for 25 years. But the sponsors idea really came out of the PBS or NPR model. I guess you could say NPR for radio and PBS for television. It's listener supported. People listening or watching that support programming they find valuable. And I knew that there'd be a small segment of people that do that. And there's a reason for that. Because I don't bash politics. I don't jump right or left. You know, I'm not ranting and raving and, you know, calling out all the lunatics to support this. This is right down the middle where most people live, I think. The stuff that grabs the headlines, and I can tell you from behind the scenes in the media for so long, the stuff that grabs the headlines is the doom and gloom, if it bleeds, it leads stuff. And I try not to get into any of that here. So there's no sensationalism here. What I'm pitching and what I'm selling is common sense for uncommon times. That's not doom and gloom, because I don't see things that way. And certainly not if it bleeds, it leads here, because I don't do any of that. So I knew that there might be a group of people, didn't know how many there would be, that would support this. And they have stayed with me for the most part, up and down, ever since I started. And that I really appreciate that. We have some things behind the scenes that happens when I get an unsubscribe notice from someone who's been subscribing or sponsored. It's usually due because their credit card changed and it didn't go through. So I have to reach out to them and make sure that that's what it is or not. And if it isn't, that's okay. You know, I've had people that just said, look, I've been doing this 3 years and I'm going to take a break. No problem. It is highly appreciated. And I don't say it enough how thankful I am and grateful I am for the people who support this, plunking down that $20 a month. Last night we had pizza. We had friends over. We had pizza. I spent $30 on one pizza. You get the whole month's of programming for 20. I mean, how much of a deal can you want, right? $5 a week? Come on. Anyway, because of that model, there are people who are not subscribers that are able to listen to this after the subscribers get it. Subscribers get an email. Listen, I don't do a bunch of gimmies and goodies just for subscribers. I just say, this is what I do. And if you choose to support this financially, it helps me do this and carve out time so I don't have to do other things. And that's good. So I really, really, really appreciate it. And there are people who listen who aren't subscribers. And if you're not, you're living off their dime, just to be clear. So today is, I don't know if it's a little bit different, but the whole concept of the show when I started was to make every attempt, as I do in the open of the show, to find sense out in the senseless and make, you know, go up the down staircase, go, let's look in places that aren't usually looked at during the week. The bombardment of the media is the sensationalization of all the stuff that's going on. And it's important to know what's going on, no question. But in my opinion, observation, experience, when you're constantly bombarded with stuff you can't do anything about, I think it kind of degenerates your central nervous system as a human being constantly. I have long ago stopped listening to commercials on television while I'm watching a show. You know, there was a time that cable was supposed to be free too. If you're old enough, you'll remember that. And they have no commercials. So I turned the sound off. Half the commercials are for drugs that I don't need. The other half is for stuff I don't care about. So at least I have the authority and the choice to turn off the sound so I keep that inundation of stuff I don't need, you know, away from me. And because of that, I sit back and I go, listen, you know, I've been watching this stuff for, you know, half a century or more. And it just, you get numb to it, which I don't think is the idea of being alive, is to be numb to life too much. There are things, again, if it's coming at you, there's shootings in Chicago, which is a bit of a ways away from here. But it's on the news every night, and the names change, and the faces change, but the outcomes are always the same. And I can't do a damn thing about it. I'm not running for mayor. I don't live there. There's no big answer. When I hear people say, we got to get rid of the mayor. Well, who's going to come in and do something different? We're going into an election cycle. And there's a good reason to turn off the sound on the political ads. That's for sure. Talk about the only person, I shouldn't say person, but the only entities that really make money during the election are the people who sell advertising. I've been part of this industry. We couldn't wait for the 2 and 4 year cycles to come around because they got to spend all this ad money that they got people to give them. Millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars spent on advertising to get you to do something in 30 seconds. Highly choreographed and produced ads. It's just, it's not what, for me, what life's all about. So this show is about upping the level of being alive. And everything I talk about on the program, to a greater or lesser degree, hopefully does that. Entertain, inform, and inspire. And if I can do that, at least two things happen. One is somebody somewhere in the world listening to this might need to hear what's being shared. it comes in at the right time for them. The second part of it is it keeps me from being a total idiot. I could easily get swallowed in stuff too. So this is like my ballast. This is where I get to sit down 4 times a month, if not 5 or 6, and share this stuff that I've, observations I've had, things like that. And it reminds me, I'm speaking to myself out loud. There's nobody else in this studio but me. There's no net here. I have some notes today because this is a little bit different. So I came across from 3 years ago and I'm like, oh, I needed to hear this and I needed to be reminded of this. So this is what the podcast is about today. But all of that aside, this is what helps keep me upright. This is what I can do. In a world where it seems like there's nothing you can do about most things, this is what I can do. And I insist on some level there is something somewhere you can do to make things better, to offset the erosion of life. I don't know what that thing is, but maybe it's there right underneath your nose. It could be little things. It doesn't have to be big things. You're not going to stop the war in Ukraine, I'm sorry, but you could donate to make sure that some whatever's going on there, is the suffering is alleviated a little bit. You know, you're not going to stop the oceans of the world being filled with pollution, but you can make sure that on your end, you're doing some recycling. You may not like what's going on with veterans' issues, and you're not going to pass a law to change that, but you could go to the VA and read to a veteran. You know, so many things you can do. So I'm of the mindset that if you're involved in the solution, even a little bit, you don't have time for the problem, or at least to complain about it, because you're involved in the solution, the change of it. And then the issues that seem so daunting in the headlines are less so, because you're doing something on your end of the stick to alleviate that. I've seen it a million times. And, you know, I've talked about the Good News Network here, goodnewsnetwork.org, I believe it is. I don't think it's .com, I think it's .org. And it's filled with stories, like CNN's filled with all the bad stuff that's happening, or Fox or MSNBC, their websites with all the good things that are happening. And what happens is we get out of balance. We think that only one thing is going on in the world. You sit and watch these channels dialed in, Fox, MSNBC, CNN, and it's like looking through a keyhole, getting poked in the eye every time. Then you go to something like the Good News Network, and you see, oh my gosh, there are good things going on. So as a species, we're slow on the uptake, I'm here to tell you. Every time I see another ad, a political ad, that looks like just the same one I saw 2 years ago, 4 years ago, 6 years ago, 8 years ago, you realize they think we're stupid. And on some level, we are. Millions of dollars spent to get you to cast a vote for someone, to drill into your belief system, to make sure that the other person, there's no middle ground here. Life is all about middle ground. It's all about middle ground. I don't care how you vote. To me, the least effective way of describing who you are as a human being is politically. My God. There was a you before you thought you were this other person. I don't care how long you've been at it. You know, I did this talk in 2018, a TED talk in Ontario, called Human Math. And Human Math says that we are taught to live in a linear fashion. You know, 1 and 1 is 2, 2 and 2 is 4, 4 and 4 is 8, on and on and on. And then you learned your multiplication tables. And I was in Canada with this audience, and I said, what, 12 times 12 is what? And everybody in the audience, even in Ontario, Canada, knew that the answer is 144. It's linear, it's universal, it's across the board. And we learn in lines, we stand in line to check out, we drive in lines on the streets and the highways and the roadways. We fly in lines with planes. Everything's linear, except life. Life doesn't always add up. And so the average life expectancy in this country is about 78, which is just over 28,000 days to be alive. Some people get more, some people get less, some people get a lot more, some people get a lot less, and nobody knows why. But we live this linear mindset in a game that is erratic at best, all over the map. And it catches us, and we get stuck. And then one day we're not here, right? And so I did this talk, and you know, when you ask people if they'd ever been to a funeral, everybody raises their hand. Then you ask if you've ever heard a eulogy, and everybody raises their hand. And ask if you've ever been to the grave, and everybody raises their hand. Then I say, have you ever seen Democrat, Republican, Independent, Conservative, or Liberal on a frickin' headstone? And nobody raises their hand, because it's not there. You know what's there? Father, mother, sister, brother, auntie, uncle, grandmother, veteran, beloved. That's what's there. If it's not important enough to carve in stone for eternity, what the F are we doing while we're here? I had a little bit of coffee this morning, kids, as you can probably tell. So my rant in that is about all of that, that we're running out of time and there's no guarantee you'll be here tomorrow and you're going to sit and be drilled into your brain with this crap that goes on constantly while everything else goes by and you miss it? Not me. Not this boy. So I came across this writing from 3 years ago. Facebook, I use mostly, not for business so much, but to stay in touch with people. I don't, you know, I see some of the garbage that's in there. It's the internet landfill, right? Facebook, all kind of shit goes in there. You got to sift through it to see if things valuable. And every now and again, Facebook has a thing called memories, and it pops up and it shows you something you did a year ago, whatever. This is from 3 years ago. And there was about 800 comments on it. I thought, I don't even remember writing this, which is neither good nor bad, I guess. It just goes to show how many file drawers I got in my brain open at any given time. And most of them, I'm like, what's going on in here? This is called No Exceptions. So many times in life, we think we're exempt from certain things. Like for some reason, the way we were born, how much money we have, what you do for a living, who you married, where you live, exempts you from things. I suppose on some level that's true, but on other levels, it is so not true. So this is a list that I apparently came up with 3 years ago, and I needed to remind myself of it again. And here we go. The first one is, and this is so important, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically, personally, professionally, and politically. No exceptions. So that's Newton's third law. I just added to it. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. It's the law. It's the way it works. Mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically, personally, professionally, and politically, there's an equal and opposite reaction. No exceptions. Number two, what appears to be a solution often just creates more problems. And what appears to be a problem often creates solutions to problems that were created when seeking a solution in the first place. No exceptions. On every level, this is true. What appears to be a solution often creates more problems. And what appears to be a problem often creates solutions to problems that were created when seeking a solution in the first place. No exceptions. Number three, just as you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, don't mistake a single chapter for an entire story. Every ending is just a beginning in disguise. Just as you don't judge a book by its cover, don't mistake a single chapter in your life, especially for an entire story of your life. Every ending is just a beginning in disguise. No exceptions. Number four, discernment is the learned ability to have spiritual maturity to watch the karmic rebound of human activity take place without interfering in the process, because what goes around comes around. No exceptions. Discernment, the learned ability to have the spiritual maturity to watch the karmic rebound of human activity take place without interfering in the process, because what goes around comes around. See the first one where I said, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. You gotta, what you put out comes back. No exceptions. Next, perception isn't the same thing as perspective. Perception is not the same thing as perspective. No exceptions. What you focus on the longest becomes the strongest thing in your life, for better or for worse. No exceptions. If you went to a garbage dump and that's all you had to eat from, you think that's how you live until you had a different experience. And so if all you do is focus on the garbage in life and what's going wrong, you just keep getting more of the same. It's a narrative that you got to keep filling. What you focus on the longest becomes the strongest thing in your life, for better or for worse, no exceptions. I wish I could claim this one. I guess I can claim parts of it. We're not exactly sure who the original quote is attributed to, but my version is this. How you were born isn't nearly as important as why. How you were born, the circumstances of your physical birth, the family that you came into, the difficulties that you had to go through, all that stuff in a big ball doesn't stack up at all as to why you showed up here. So you had a rough landing. Nobody else has? Why you were born is more important than how. No exceptions. This one's really important to me personally because I work so much and there was a time I got swallowed up a bit by the industry. Don't confuse who you are with what you do. They are not the same things. People work 30, 40 or more years at a job, at a career, and it becomes them. They get so integrated in it, they forget who they are without that. And there was a time in radio that I was on a roll. You know, I had done the Oprah thing and did that for 4 years. And when that changed, I didn't know who I was anymore. I had worked so hard at it and so long at it and so many hours at it and so much invested in it that it had become me and I'd become it. Not good. Got to the point where I had a BlackBerry on my hip, a communicating device that they don't even make anymore, I don't think. And there were so many messages that my hip would buzz constantly. And when I gave the BlackBerry and turned it into HR, when I gave it back, my hip buzzed for 2 weeks. I didn't even have the thing on. Those phantom vibrations. I can tell you right then and there, I knew that I was screwed for a while. It was almost like I had to go through detox to get away from all that. Don't confuse who you are with what you do. It's just what you do. It's not who you are. It's not the same thing. There are parts of it for sure. And, you know, I think about my dad quite often when I come up with this one here. This is a guy who, you know, went to work at 8:15 in the morning. He walked to work, got there at 9 o'clock, whatever. He would come home for lunch sometimes. Then at 5 o'clock, he was home for dinner every night. Nobody ever called him after hours. There was no BlackBerry, no texting, no cell phones, no nothing. So he literally left it at work. He was able to cut it and go away. For the most part, I'm sure some stuff ran through his head, but I never once saw the guy working at night. I never heard him on his cell phone, didn't have any computers, and he was able to leave that there. In this world, that's very different. I'm always working. I mean, like all the time. I'll put in 80 hours a week on different projects and things because it's so accessible, the technology allows for it, whatever. But I'm always on guard to remind myself to not confuse who I am with what I'm doing. The physical aspects of this work. Now, I'm putting myself into it in a microphone, right? And this is truly who I am. There's an authenticity factor here of 1,000. But I also have to remember that there's more to me than just this, than all the pieces of the production to make this work. Don't confuse who you are with what you do. They're not the same thing. If you get confused and they get tied up, yeah, not a good deal. And by the way, no exceptions. You have a limited time on the planet in which to have unlimited experiences. That's totally up to you. As it goes back to the one I said before, is how you were born is not nearly as important as why. When you start figuring out the why, the hows start to take care of themselves. But you have a limited time to do that. And that's how it works. This is a zero-sum game. The odds of being born are 1 in 400 trillion. The odds of dying are 1 in 1. Nobody I know has ever gotten out of life alive. I'm not going to, neither are you. But in that time period, you could have unlimited experience with your limited time. No exceptions. It's all about choices and chances. I learned this from my football coaches in my football days. It was more about the game at that point, but it's also about life. No one gets out of life any more than you put into it. I've never seen anything different than that. Nobody gets out of life anything more than you put into life. When it came to the football game, we couldn't always control the score, but we can control, you know, what we're doing on the football field, the plays that we ran, and how we ran the defenses, and the energy and effort that it takes to do that. There are some days, I have 3 or 4 football helmets here in my studio. I'm looking at them now. Deacon Jones autographed helmet, my pal Jerry Kramer autographed helmet, my high school football helmet. And we have a big event every year called the Bulldog Bash, and I have a kind of a custom one that we use at the event. And I look at those helmets, especially mine from high school. I'm missing one from college, and I'm missing my semi-pro. So there's 2 helmets that should be here, they're not. And I can't even believe I played the game as long as I did, or as I did at that level, because it's a thing, you know, it's a head knocker. But the lessons from the game have stayed with me, obviously, much longer than the game itself. I'm in my 60s now. My brain thinks I could still play. My body's like, you're out of your mind. Anyway, no one gets out of life anything more than you put into it. No exceptions. Compound interest can work for you or against you, depending on how you invest yourself in the time that you're given. compound interest is that which expands, keeps expanding, right? So you want compound interest in a good way, not in a bad way. And it can work for you or against you. It all depends on how you invest yourself and the time you're given. So if that which expands keeps expanding, whatever you focus on the longest becomes the strongest, and you have a limited time to be here, you're going to sit and watch MSNBC, CNN, and Fox and argue with people you don't know in a political season? I'm not going to do that. And this is the whole thing about trying to up the consciousness and talk about things maybe in a way that aren't talked about quite often, which maybe gives some leverage to someone to go, look, I'm running out of time here, you know? It's like that old saying, no one on their deathbed wishes they spent more time at their job. There's so much more to life than all this stuff. Compound interest can work for you or against you, depending on how you invest yourself and the time you are given. No exceptions. The value of that return on investment is solely determined by you, nobody else, unless you give them permission to do so. I'll give you a perfect example. When I started radio in 1997, I have zero experience in this. I didn't go to broadcasting school. I didn't take journalism classes. This was a calling that became a career. You can imagine how my family and the people around me thought about what I was doing. I don't have the qualifications to do this. And yet I've been doing it 25 years. So there's something in here that are intangibles, the unseen factors that make this work. And, you know, look, my best grades in high school were lunch and gym. So I'm getting away with a lot here. But that investment over the years has yielded great returns in so many ways, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, spiritually. Every time I get behind this microphone, I feel so honored and so called upon to do exactly what I'm saying and reminding you of, that I got a limited time here and I'm not going to major in minor things. I'm just not going to do it. And when I catch myself doing it, I remember that I'm running out of time. If I'm lucky, I got about 5,000 days. If it all lines up and I hit that average, I got about 5,200 days to be alive. You think I'm going to spend time with the sound on a political ad? No. The value of a return on investment is solely determined by you, nobody else, unless you give them permission to do so, no exceptions. And it's always the way. When I first got into radio, you're nuts, you're crazy, no one will ever listen to you. Next thing I know, when you're making mid six figures and you're working at Harpo Radio and you're producing the Dr. Oz show, everybody wants free tickets and you buy dinner. What other people think of you is their business, not yours, unless you let them do it. What other people think of you is their business, not yours, unless you make it so. What other people think of you, listen, especially in this business, half the people, not this show, because if you're subscribing, then you kind of like what I do, but I do a radio show in Washington, D.C. I did a radio show for a year with Beijing, China, which is a great cultural experiment. Exchanged that was done at the height of the worst time between Asian and American relationships politically. And half the people would write me hate mail. I was a communist. I was a splitter. Screw off. I'm doing what I can here to build the bridge between people. I'd rather build bridges than dig ditches. But if I would take that on and make it personal, I was toast. You should not be in the radio business if that stuff bothers you, that's for sure. And it doesn't matter what it is. You can talk politics, sports, or music, and people won't like you. It's just human nature. So knowing that going in kind of gives you about a 4-inch thick hide, like a rhino. What other people think of you is their business, not yours, unless you make it so. No exceptions. What you put out comes back, for better or for worse. This is the law of return on so many different levels. What you do in the world, how you spread yourself out in the world, what you do with your time while you're here, all the things that you're working on, those come back to you, often in greater numbers. And it comes back when you least expect it at times, and in ways you couldn't possibly imagine. So if you're putting the good out into the world, I have no illusions about what I do. You know, there's a small ego part of me that would be great. Hey, you want to give me 100 million and have 50 million people listening? I'm in, let's go. I don't think that's coming. So I sit in here 4 to 6 times a month and I spill my guts out because I know I'm putting out that which needs to be done on my level. And it comes back to me in all these other ways I can't ever predict, different projects, different opportunities, different events. And I think it's fantastic. It's like a constantly a game of opening Cracker Jack and wondering what the prize is inside, which reminds me, I haven't had Cracker Jack in a long time. I need to get some. But that's the whole thing. Life is like magical that way. What you put out comes back. So if your life says shitstorm, you might want to look at what you're putting out. Just saying. We become what we allow. When this one came to me 20 years ago, and this is on every level, it really went through me. We become what we allow. You become what you allow. Mentally, spiritually, emotionally, financially, all levels, all of it. We become what we allow into our orbit. We become what we allow of each other. We become what we allow as a country, as a nation, and as a world. We become that. And that right there puts it on our backs. We become what we allow. As I mentioned, we have these shootings every day in Chicago. I don't know the answer, but we've allowed it for so long, we've become that. When I think of the environmental things that are going on in the world, whether you agree with it or don't, does it really kind of matter to me? This is my show, so I'm going to make this as an example. And we've allowed for so long for things to be pollution, get out into the world and the oceans that are filled with plastic. We've allowed that. Now we got to clean it up or not. So these are just two simple examples. Over time, you allow things more and more, and we become that. I don't even flinch anymore when I hear there was another shooting. I worry about my daughter who lives downtown. I would rather she lived like in the middle of Montana somewhere on a ranch. But I can't control all that. We've allowed it to a point where this is what we have to deal with. And we have to find other ways to do that. Which leads to my final point. If you always do what you've always done, you will always get what you've always got, no exceptions. This is the most predictable thing on planet Earth. When you read history and go through history and study history, you see these cycles of repetition. It's because of this. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. There's no way you cannot get anything different. There's no way that you can get anything different. This is kind of reminds me, for some reason, Dr. Phil popped into my head, who I could think about very often at all. And I remember he would do these shows where he had people in front of him. And they'd be talking about all the problems they have that they created. They can't see that. And they just sit there and pour their guts out. And he just sits there looking at them. At the end, he's like, are you crazy? Don't you see that you're creating this by the way you act and how you think and what you believe to be true? And they can't. There's a blind spot in humanity that is really difficult to overcome. It takes serious self-awareness to get your shit in one sock. And you have to do it one by one. My hope is today that through this rant on a Saturday morning, that there's some value in here, that's something you could go back to and refer to time and time again. I'm going to run through these one more time just so we're really clear on what this today is all about. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically, personally, professionally, and politically. What appears to be a solution often creates more problems, and what appears to be a problem often creates solutions to problems that were created when seeking a solution in the first place. Just as you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, don't mistake a single chapter for an entire story. Every ending is just a beginning in disguise. Discernment is the learned ability to have the spiritual maturity to watch the karmic rebound of human activity take place without interfering in the process, because what goes around comes around. How people treat you is their karma. How you respond is yours. Perception is not the same thing as perspective. What you focus on the longest becomes the strongest thing in your life, for better or for worse. How you were born isn't nearly as important as why. Don't confuse who you are with what you do. They are not the same thing. You have a limited time on this planet in which to have unlimited experiences. No one gets out of life anything more than they put into it. Compound interest can work for you or against you, depending on how you invest yourself in the time that you have been given. The value of that return on investment is solely determined by you, no one else, unless you give them permission to do so. What other people think of you is their business, not yours, unless you make it so. What you put out comes back, for better or for worse. We become what we allow. If you always do what you've always done, you will always get what you've always got. And all that is without exception. Doesn't matter who you are, where you live, what you have or don't have. These are the laws. This is how life works, in my observation, experience, and opinion. And I thank you for listening. Until next time, be well, safe travels. Adios.